Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message I was in Ephesians chapter 3, between verses 12 and 16, where Paul was speaking about having confidence and having boldness in terms of our access to our God through our faith in Him, because of our belief in the truth that He has related, we can have confidence and boldness as we approach our God. In verse 12, he said, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." So he made a connection between the tribulations that he was having and the confidence and boldness that he has with his God, and that this is something that he wants them to have in the midst of these tribulations. I explained in the previous message that in most cases when people are thinking about tribulations, most of the time people are thinking that you are having or you are experiencing or somebody else is experiencing tribulations because of sin in their lives, or because God is not pleased with them in some way, because of something perhaps that they are failing to do, in addition to things that they are perhaps doing that they shouldn't be doing. That this is a common belief that people have, and because of this, it would be easy for people to assume, and it is, it's very common for people to assume that when someone is having struggles, difficulties, and tribulations, it's because God is effectively not really with them, and that this would require some sense of repentance or rededication of their lives or something to that effect. But Paul expressed confidently and boldly to the Ephesians that sure, he's having tribulations, but this has no relevance to how close he is or how close he is not to his God. That he has confidence, he has boldness, and he wants them to have the same kind of confidence and boldness as well. Because his relationship with God is not dependent on his circumstances. And he recognizes, he understands that in life we are going to have tribulations. We're going to have struggles. That's just simply a part of the world that we are in. Certainly that can be the result of making bad decisions, but it could just simply be the natural consequences of things that are happening in our lives or because of the decisions that other people make. But regardless of that, we are to have a relationship with our God based on what He has done for us, not on the basis of what we do for Him. The foundation and the security, the establishment of the relationship that we have with Him is because of what He has already done for us in establishing a relationship based on His forgiveness and based on Him dwelling within our spirits personally. So I was explaining in the previous message that the tribulations of life are not to be a measurement of whether or not we need some divine intervention or whether or not we have or don't have a proper relationship with our God. So he wants them to have confidence and to have boldness in the truth. Their faith is defined by the truth that has been revealed to them, and he wants them to respond to that truth, which is the expression of faith. Faith is the response to the truth that has been revealed. And in verse 14, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that they might be strengthened." And at the end of the previous message, I was explaining that this is related to the love of God, because of course he goes on between verses 17 and 21 to speak about the love of God, which is what will strengthen the inner man. Now, this can be a little bit of a challenge for people because when people think of the innermost part of their being, and they're wanting to experience some sense of inner strength within themselves, then they will usually think about their weaknesses. What might be the weaknesses that they have in the innermost part of their being that needs to be strengthened or needs to be corrected? To be strengthened in the inner man or in the inner being means that you are not strengthened, that you are weak. So what would be the measure of weakness within the innermost part of a person? I think this is really important to think about, really important to consider, because it can easily become counterproductive when you consider the solution that Paul presents when it comes to strengthening the inner man. In most cases, when people are thinking about the weaknesses that they have, they will usually think about the ways that the world has been able to take advantage of them. How other people in the world have been able to manipulate them or deceive them. And this is related to the inner person, to the innermost parts of their being in terms of who they are and what they genuinely desire and need. For example, people have a genuine desire to be accepted by someone else. With the desire that we have for acceptance, and this is something that God created us to have, a need for acceptance. With this desire for acceptance, it can be easy for people to deceive us into thinking that they do accept us, but in reality, they don't. They're just pretending to accept us. They're pretending to like us. They're pretending to love us. And so that they can become a part of our lives to the extent that they will be able to manipulate us, take advantage of us. And then when our usefulness seems to have expired or their goals have been accomplished through inserting themselves into our lives, well, then the revelation is made. Then it is well known that they just don't really accept us. They don't really love us at all. And this could be revealed in the context of they never did. Or what normally happens is that people will come up with some kind of an excuse. They will identify that there is something wrong with you and that this is somehow a spontaneous revelation, perhaps. And they're going to say that you are an evil person. You are wrong. And it'll normally be some kind of a lie or perhaps an exaggeration of a truth, and there will be no regard whatsoever for wanting to resolve any conflict in order to continue the relationship. Instead, you will notice that they're looking for a way to end the relationship. This happens quite a bit when a person is finished with making use of someone else. And the way that this relationship got established was through the measure of acceptance, through the measure of love. And when the person is rejected, if you are rejected, then you're going to feel a sense of weakness. And the sense of weakness will have its roots in the fact that you have been rejected. You are no longer accepted. You are no longer loved. This part of you is considered to be a weakness. And so then what do people tend to do? They tend to try to strengthen themselves by hardening themselves to some extent to declare or assert that they just don't really need to be accepted by other people. They don't really need to be loved, or they will protect themselves from others who may love or accept them, not knowing if they're being honest with them at all or if they're just trying to use them like other people did. And of course, this creates some significant limitations concerning how they might develop future relationships. But to them, this is a way of protecting themselves. We will do this in order to protect ourselves, to esteem some sense of strength in the inner person. We see that our weaknesses are related to the needs that we have in the deepest part of our being, the need to be loved, the need to be accepted, the need for some sense of meaning and purpose in our lives becomes recognized as some kind of weakness. That these are supposedly our weaknesses, and if we will just suppress these needs in some way or protect ourselves because of these needs, then we will have some sense of strength in the inner person. But this is not the way of God. This is not the way that God designed us. And this is counterproductive. It is a complete contradiction to the kind of relationship that he wants to establish with us. You see, when people define their weaknesses in this context and in this way, what you will say is that your desire to be loved and accepted is your weakness. But you must understand that this is something that God created you to have. We were created to be loved. We were created to be accepted. These are needs that God created within us as part of our design. And I know this might sound a little surprising to some, but God didn't make a mistake in this regard. This is not a mistake. This is a design of God with intent and purpose. And when we don't recognize and accept and embrace the reality that this is how he made us, then how we will respond to these needs that we have will definitely be counterproductive. You need to embrace the fact, the reality, that you were created by your God to be loved and to be accepted, and that these needs that we have are not weaknesses. Certainly, there are ways that people can manipulate and deceive, and in that context, I can understand why people can perceive these needs as weaknesses and that they would want to suppress these needs. But folks, the attempt to do that will fail, will lead to multiple kinds of failures. First of all, you're not going to be able to suppress it to the extent where no one will ever have access to you in this regard at all. It's still going to become a part of your life. You're still going to find yourself being manipulated and deceived. This is just simply a part of the way that the world functions. And if you're in the world, then this is going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. Instead, we must embrace the needs that we have and see them as strengths, not as weaknesses, because that is the design of God. God does not create weakness. He creates strengths, and that's what these are. The challenge, however, is that we need to be loved by him. He created us to be accepted by him. And as I mentioned briefly in the previous message, there is an abundance of teaching in the Christian world that gives the impression that God does not love you. He does not accept you. And so that becomes quite an obstacle, quite a challenge. But once you are able to get past those things, then you can rest and trust in the truth that God has revealed, that he has demonstrated through his forgiveness. He forgave the sins of the world, so he no longer holds our sins against us. If that is an accomplished fact, if that is true, and that he died once and for all to bring the sin issue to an end, then you are now accepted because of what he has done for you. You are now going to be loved because of what he has done for you. But when people believe that God still holds their sins against them, then there's no way that they can be loved and accepted by their God. And so this part of us that we have, that God created, will never be strengthened. A person will always be weak. And this is important for you to recognize. You need to understand this, that if a person is not really being loved by their God in the way that God loves them, then they are weak, very weak. Their faith is weak. They are weak. They are weak people who may give the appearance that they have great strength and fortitude, but they don't. It is nothing more than a show. It is all pretend. It is just one big lie. Only those of us who rest in the truth of God will be strengthened in our inner being, in the inner man, as he says again in verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. And you will not have that strength without receiving the riches of his glory, without being strengthened by the love of God. Paul is saying this in the context of tribulation, in the sense that if you are experiencing tribulation, then it has no relevance to how God relates to you or how he feels about you. What you need to embrace is that you are going to have tribulations in your life, and he will be with you in and through those tribulations, and he will strengthen you to go through those tribulations. And when you are done and you realize that he is still with you, there will be an opportunity for you to be strengthened even more. So now moving forward into verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's go back to the beginning of verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Let's pause there for just a moment. If you are not strengthened in your inner man, in your inner person, if you are not strengthened by the love of God, if you are not being loved and accepted by your God, then he is not dwelling in your heart through faith. I'll say that again. He is not dwelling in your heart through faith if you are not believing the truth of his love and acceptance. He is not dwelling there in this capacity. Now, you may very well be saved, and good for you. You know, you're saved. You've been made spiritually alive. He is there in the context of salvation. He is present. But because you don't believe him, you are not experiencing what he has for you. You are not receiving the love and acceptance that he has for you. Then it will be as if he is not there, because he is not dwelling in your heart through faith, because you're not trusting and responding to the truth. That is the expression of faith, to trust in and respond to the truth that has been revealed to you. And if you are not responding to the truth as God sees it, then how is he going to dwell in your heart in this way? He's not. It's not going to happen. And so you will not be rooted and grounded in love. You don't believe in his love, or the kind of love you believe in is a distortion of what his love is really about. You may believe in the love of God in a certain context or in a certain way, but if that definition is not consistent with his definition, then it's not real. It is your own personal fantasy. That's what it is. You are not rooted and grounded in the love of God. So how do you expect him to dwell in your heart through faith, such that he will strengthen you with his might through his spirit in your inner person? But he goes on in verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God, that he may dwell in your hearts through faith. He may very well be there, you being regenerated into becoming a new creation, a child of God with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. But what's he going to do? What can he do? How can he dwell? How can he live with you? How can he relate to you according to the truth if you are not willing to believe and embrace the truth? All he can really do is wait. Wait for you to perhaps one day, before you are dead, physically dead, wait until you will believe what he's had to say. And if you don't, then you're just going to miss out on what he has to offer and what you can experience in this life with your God, to grow and know him in ways that you will never be able to grow and know him in the kingdom of heaven. Paul describes this as something that passes knowledge. Now, of course, we need to start with the love of Christ, which is within knowledge, that is within the boundaries of what we can know, of what we can understand. But it doesn't stop there. It moves forward. It goes on. There is an expression of the love of God that cannot be explained in the words that we have available in our languages today. There is a love of Christ, there is a love of God that cannot be explained, but can genuinely be experienced. But for a person to get there, they have to begin with that which can be explained, which can be known. And I can testify of that to an extent, but you are going to have to believe the truth that God has revealed yourself. You're going to have to do that. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that obviously is going to have to be something that you experience between yourself and your God. I can only testify of its existence. I can testify of it according to what Paul has declared here in verse 19. But the limitation, of course, is that you cannot be discipled in this. This is something that he encourages the people to pursue, that they may come to know what he has come to know, that he can testify of the existence of, but it's something that he knows they can only experience themselves between themselves and the living God. That is a limitation that he has. That is a limitation that we all have. But that is when you are going to be filled with all of the fullness of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be filled with the fullness of God, is to be filled with the genuine, true love of God that roots us and grounds us and strengthens us in the inner man. And then in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And what is it that we want him to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think? That he would reveal the truth of his love for us and that we would believe him. And if we believe him, then that's going to be reflected in the way that we live our lives. We will live our lives with the truth that he has revealed. It will be reflected in the decisions that we make, in the choices that we make, in the ways that we live our lives. This has to do with our walk in Christ Jesus, which is why Paul introduces chapter 4, verse 1 by saying, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And the foundation of walking worthy of the calling is not about how you restrain your flesh. It is about how you walk according to the truth that he has revealed. Are you being loved and accepted by him? And I will continue with this in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.